Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
On this episode, we have a more focused discussion on a singular event at the Olympics. We're going to talk about Simone Biles, who is a female gymnast on Team USA. She is objectively the most talented gymnast there probably ever has been, but she withdrew from the team competition, the individual all-around, the vault, the uneven bars, and the floor exercise. She would compete in the individual balance beam event, where she placed third. This series of withdrawals is the subject of our discussion. In the past, we've done episodes about sports, where we discussed worker exploitation, and this scenario is no different. The Olympics is a corporatized spectacle where the athlete's labor is exploited for profit. Before we get into too much detail, we've got a bit of a preamble where we define the boundaries of our discussion.
We do not give a shit about the Olympics. We don't care whether the U.S. wins or loses. We don't care how many gold medals they have, silver medals. We don't care about any of the nonsense, the flag wearing, the t-shirts, the whether or not they raise a fist or take a shit on the grass. None of it.
Every athlete that wins a medal should be wearing a shirt that says the U.S. is a terrorist state.
So the other thing to talk about is we don't have any hard feelings against Simone. She's an athlete. She's part of the PMC. She has sponsorships through, you know, Uber, which is a class trader company, which basically his whole job is to try to break the taxi industry and the unionization of workers there. So, you know, we don't really care necessarily about her professions, but we're not directly attacking her when we talk about this. And the third part is it came out that she was a victim of all the sexual abuse that happened in the USA Gymnastics, which is a really fucked up situation to be in, because everything about the Olympics and everything about gymnastics is exploitation and geared towards exploitation of the females that are in it. And fuck Larry Nassar and anybody that enabled it, anybody looked and turned their head. And honestly, if there's money to be made, people turn their heads. Institutions turn their heads because there's money to be made and they pretend they didn't see it. Who's that Penn State asshole?
Joe Paterno. Joe Pa.
Joe Pa. Joe Pa allowed his football players or whoever it was to be, like, straight up abused. Why? Money to be made. The FBI didn't investigate anything about it. She's probably got a ton of damage in her brain and mentals going through this. And so we're going to leave the whole sexual abuse component alone because we know that that is traumatizing. We are going to talk now about the exploitation of workers and why this is a really interesting and mind-boggling, like, series of events that happened in the world of the Olympics. Basically, everybody's lost their fucking mind and has no idea what to do about it.
The amount of just general discussion in public media about this is just wild to me. So here's a short description of what happened for those that don't know. Team USA, female gymnastics, in the team competition, the U.S. qualified for the finals. They, I believe, finished second behind Team ROC, which is the team formerly known as Russia. And throughout the qualification round at the Olympics, Simone Biles didn't perform great. Which is fine. Athletes have bad days. Who cares? At the start of the final for the team competition, the U.S. started on the vault exercise. And for those that don't know this, it's basically a countertop and you run at it and you jump off a spring and you do like a handspring flippy thing and land on a mat. It's crazy. Like, I can't do it. It requires athletic ability. It's hard. Simone was supposed to do something that had 2.5 rotations in it after she vaulted and did the spinny flippy shit in the air. But when her run actually occurred, she only did a rotation and a half, and she basically fell on the landing and got a meh score, not the score that she was looking for. So after this happened, she left the arena. The media reported that she withdrew and cited a medical issue. So based on anybody's history of watching sports, when somebody withdraws, you generally assume that it's some sort of physical injury. So maybe she snapped her ankle like Kyrie Strug did in 1996. We don't know. But later, it was revealed in a tweet by U.S. Gymnastics, the following statement. After further medical evaluation, Simone Biles has withdrawn from the final individual all-around competition at the Tokyo Olympic Games in order to focus on her mental health. What was presumed to be some sort of physical injury or a generally mysterious withdrawal was then framed as a mental health, basically, issue by U.S. Gymnastics. And we're going to talk about this to some degree. We don't want to focus too much on the mental health aspect of it, but it's important in the context of how corporate media frames this withdrawal. So at the end of the day, on this competition, which Simone withdrew from, Team USA went on to get second in the team event. And another American, Suni Lee, won gold in the individual all around.
A lot of the framework that's happening here, and it started off in the beginning, we're going to break this into a few components. The first is the mental health and the question of the stress that are put on, you know, these athletes. And what people don't think realize is that she has been doing this over and over again, and she actually made a statement today saying she's more than gymnastics. So at the age of 24, she probably is starting to crack under the idea that she isn't more than gymnastics, because she quite literally is defining her ego as a gymnast. There's nothing else she is doing, has done, or can do, because she has spent her entire adult life at this point in time doing gymnastics, not studying, not going to college, not doing anything else beyond literally sports, this sport. Because it takes, again, 4 hours a day, every day for her to get there. Throwing the same vault, the same routine over and over again. Now, when it comes to the fact that she didn't hit her 2.5, that I'm actually shocked about, because that's muscle memory. So something shook her before this. I don't know if the springboard didn't feel right. I don't know if the mats didn't feel right. I don't know if maybe her stride was off a little bit. She wasn't able to get full power. I don't know if she didn't mark the mat the right way to start doing her tumble before she hit the vault. I don't know if she actually did a pre and missed it on her warm-up, and that's why she freaked out.
Yeah, so she did a practice and roughly the same thing.
Yeah, happened. So that's what happened. So I think the practice shook her. And that can be anything. So if you look at some of that equipment, the springs have to be just right. In fact, they're all adjustable. You can move the springs all around. And if the boards aren't quite right, or she's missing a half step, or it feels like it's off by a quarter inch, I mean, she's missing it. She should have had plenty of time to get this right. But at the same time, once you're in your head and you're shook, and whatever broke her, she ain't coming out of this. I mean, this is how you lose your mind in sports, is that when the muscle memory breaks down, it's over with.
Right. So there is an absolute mental component to sports and performing under pressure. But is that really the same as a mental health issue?
No. I don't know what's in her head, so it's hard for me to know. You spend a lot of time with the athlete getting the mentals right. But things like fatigue, you know, she's halfway around the world. Things like illness, not having the support structure she needed there, right? They're not allowed to travel with companions. So isolation, right? Her coach may not have been able to actually talk her through or talk her down off the you know, anxiety, right? She could have had a muscle soreness somewhere that threw her off. There's a ton here. And so we talk about mental illness. The question is whether or not she broke from the intensity of the sport. And eating shit and saying, I just didn't have it in me is different than saying you have a mental illness, because quite honestly, a mental illness is a serious, mental health is a serious topic, and I hate for anybody to abuse it, to use it as a cop-out for what happened. Now, I can't speak for her, because the other end of this, the flip side, the one that's pulling me to the other side saying maybe it was mental illness or mental health, is the fact that Nasser abused her. She's 24, and maybe it was identity crisis or something freaked her out. Because this could have been her last Olympics, and someone let her know that. If someone reminded her this is her last Olympics, because she's 24.
Yeah, it's her whole self-identity, like you said earlier.
Who are you? Who am I? I mean, and sitting there in isolation by yourself, lets shit run wild. So I'm not gonna, this is all speculation, this is all me just making things up. But if I look at any sport, anybody I coach or work through, again, at any point in time, even employees or whoever it is, I mean, mental health is a huge thing. But what I can say, though, is that she does not deserve the amount of nonsense that is being thrown at her from every angle. There are people who are saying that she's a piece of shit because she let her team down. People are saying that, she shouldn't deserve it in the first place. Oh, she was just too good. Maybe she should just suck it up. Maybe she's been sucking up, though, probably since she's been 12. So let's remind ourselves that living at top performance for 12 years is not an easy thing to do.
Part of the hype around this perceived mental illness or mental health issue is corporate driven, it's sponsorship driven, it's profit driven. And I want to draw the distinction between a scenario in which you are an athlete and you airball a free throw because you can't handle the pressure versus a situation in which your mental state in general is so unstable that you physically can't compete. You don't sleep, you're anxious, you just functionally can't act how you would, even though it's muscle memory, even though you've been doing this for 8 years. There's a distinction there. And I don't want to necessarily say that I'm in one camp versus the other, but that distinction exists. And we're going to talk about the second piece of this in the context of how she is exploited as a U.S. Olympic athlete and gymnast. So put yourself in the shoes of everyday Joe Schmo.
From Kokomo?
Yes, way down in Kokomo. In 20 years, when you have your grandkid sitting on your lap in the rocking chair, and you're rocking back and forth watching whatever hellscape the climate change Olympics are you going to retell the story about how Simone withdrew from the Olympics and her team got second?
No, because I don't care.
No, because who gives a shit? In the American ethos, nobody cares about a quitter. And I'm saying quitter in air quotes because she withdrew, she quit. There shouldn't be a negative connotation to this at all, but there is, and society places that upon athletes. And this relates to the two tiers of, is this just failing under pressure or is this some mental health issue? In the context of sports, you didn't win. The sport itself doesn't care why you didn't win. You didn't win. So from her perspective, withdrawing could have absolutely been the correct decision based on some plethora of factors that we have no idea what they are. But at the same time, it can also be the wrong decision if you look at it from a higher level. An example of this is she took a spot from another individual that could have been on the team and could have helped the team win gold.
Yep, absolutely.
In the moment, she might have made the best decision for the team by not participating, because from a certain point of view, she went out there and attempted to compete and effectively hurt the team by not performing. And at some level, she understood that she was hurting the team. So she, I think, just perception-wise as to what happened, was like, I'm out. I'm going to hurt the team. So that's a completely fair, rational basis for her actions. But she could have taken actions to prevent this from even occurring if she knew, and whether she could have known ahead of time or not is a different question. The idea that this was an optimal decision or that she saved the Olympic team or any of that like nonsense, there's really not a silver lining here. And that's a good pun because they got silver, right?
Yeah, but remember, they got second, we got gold. That, I mean, that's the persona, that's the perception of everybody who's watching, right? That if you lose, it's you individualistically, and if we win, we all win together. Which is why we always say fuck the Olympics. It makes no sense.
Right. From the nationalistic point of view, the goal was to have Team USA win, and the only way for Team USA to win was to have Simone compete at her best, but she didn't do that, so therefore they couldn't win. I don't know if I buy into that rationale, and we'll never know. So at the end of this, the U.S. got second. There's this drama around Simone dropping out, but the rest of Team USA stepped up and performed relatively well.
Which is what you're asking for.
And this has to do with team competition. So on a team, you get four members, and the top two scores from any event count. So the result of having Simone not participate meant that somebody who might have not been best positioned for a particular event had to step up, and that functionally hurt the team. But that was the intent of the Olympics, was to have a strong team.
It's not Simone that we're going after here. It's the mentality of how we treat athletes and why they exist in the form they are. The last podcast episode, I spoke about how it's much better, cheaper, for Uber to buy Simone than it would be to buy LeBron James. And they get the nationalistic feel, and they get to exploit her. But only if she performs. If she's a loser, they will cut her. So she not only has the added pressure of being, quote-unquote, more than a gymnast without having the ability to actually become more than a gymnast, because she doesn't have the ability to go train for anything else because she's only doing gymnastics, but then she can't lose her financial well-being, because how much money do you think you make a year as a professional gymnast?
Nothing.
Nothing, unless you get some sort of endorsement or you go on tour. So they have to go on, people maybe don't know this, they have to go and they have to sell their name for stuff, like the Nasty Lukin Winter Classic, like in the Dells, Wisconsin, right? Literally, that's like what it is, because they have to sell their names. You can Google it. I mean, just Google random athlete names, and you can find that they have a sports camp that they go to, and the sports camp gives them $10,000 to show up for a week, be quote-unquote like a coach, so that they can coach kids. And I mean, there's so many people on the Olympic team who coach gymnastics right now, or any of the sports, for jobs, that it'll shock you how bad they're abused. And that's why it gets to the point where you need to ask yourself whether or not an Olympian is an athlete or a worker who does athletics. It's the same argument we have when it comes to things like basketball and football, in which you have a players union. So should there be a players union for individuals who compete at every level? And the answer is yes. Absolutely yes.
After her withdrawal, a number of her sponsors issued statements saying that they support her struggle and they want to continue to support her, which is good PR. I don't know that it's any statement about actually supporting her. I think it's more of a statement that they have already invested in her. They have contractual obligations. They can't back out now because it would be like, oh, you don't care about mental health. They functionally can't do anything other than say they support her. And it provides a good opportunity for them to say, oh, we support mental health. And that's also why you see U.S. Gymnastics tweeting about mental health, because it provides a friendly cover to corporations to now say, oh, well, we're invested in Simone and we care about her mental health. But you could make the argument that the single institution in all of the United States that gives less of a fuck about any individual person is U.S. Gymnastics, because they quite literally enabled people to sexually abuse pretty much an entire legal class of people. There is no scenario in which U.S. Gymnastics gives a fuck about the well-being of athletes' mental health. And then there's a number of articles that are also praising her for withdrawing and calling it courageous and brave. I don't really get those qualifiers. I think she's courageous and brave because she did well in the previous Olympics and she had to endure sexual abuse. But I don't think that withdrawing is particularly courageous. And this gets to your point about creating a union. She was in a position in which she has money from sponsors. She is in an institution that is corrupt as fuck.
Yep.
And if she wanted to do something that was courageous, she would literally advocate to unionize the U.S. gymnastics team and all Olympic athletes in general. Like, that is the answer here. Like, the athletes had so little power in U.S. gymnastics that they couldn't get the FBI to investigate sex crimes against all of them. That's how little power there is for Olympic athletes.
Literally, hundreds of girls. It's not an exaggeration. It's crazy. So we'll get back to this idea of what it's like to be a unionized person. And this is the same critique we'll have of LeBron James. LeBron James actually, in my theory, had a pullback on his support for BLM or unionization because he had a movie he was trying to make money off of with Warner Brothers. He had sponsorships that he had to protect against. So now you have a scenario in which you have to take a look at your capital or how much money you can make versus, you know, what is your future? And it's easy for someone to sell out the people below them in order to make money. We talk about it all the time in here, where basically class traders exist because they get paid money to be class traders.
So Simone's entire financial livelihood comes from endorsements and commercials, like from Uber and Athleta, I think, which is the Gap wing of sports apparel, basically.
She's only worth $6 million, so who cares, right?
But at some point, her entire future earnings potential is predicated on her being a gymnast. At what point can she actually take a stand without impeding her ability to financially make money?
She really can't. I mean, she can't. Because, like, think about Michael Phelps and him smoking weed.
Or driving and drunk and...
Drunk, right? He's worth $80 million. Do I want to be worth millions of dollars and have financial stability, or do I want to be a class champion? And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be the class champion because no one's set up to be.
And that's by design. The system of the Olympics, which we talked about in the previous episode, is designed to elevate kids from PMC families that are exploitable by capital, by NBC, for advertising revenue.
Yep.
They're good stories. Generally, nobody gets hurt, and the athletes are given no motivation to buck the system. Simone is the opposite of this. She grew up poor and was abused by the institution of U.S. gymnastics. She has to at least be semi-aware of the exploitation, but she also has no incentive to inflict economic self-harm. The withdrawal could also be a sideways attempt to stick it to the man.
Yeah, this is again, you know, we're not blaming the mental health and lack of mental health, whatever it happens to be. This is not it. But there's a reason for the withdrawal. We need to figure it out what it is, because it may be as simple as the pressure got to her, or she's 24 and thinks she can't compete. And I mean, the scenario could be that she's been competing and she gets to the point where at 24, she tries to hit this and misses. And she's never missed before. That simple, right? And if I go out there and perform this way, I'm gonna look like an asshole, and I don't want that. It's too much stress. Could have been someone told her something insane and she just broke down. It could have been, there's so much conjecture here. Who knows what it is? All we know is that at the end of the day, either she had a contractual obligation to call it mental health, so she didn't lose it from Uber or all her other sponsors, or she probably couldn't have just resigned or pulled out because it probably was a breach of contract. She probably had to do something like it's mental health and pull out for health reasons. There's always a reason for something. Who knows? Again, all conjecture. All we know is that we support the athletes as workers, and there's a very small amount that actually make money within the Olympics constructs. Everything else is pure exploitation to the point in which children are molested and nobody gives a shit. I mean, it is pure exploitation all around. exploitation from the gyms that coach the kids, the exploitation from the buildings that house them, to the people that make money selling their faces and their names. Literal exploitation through and through, and nobody's going to change that because there's too much money to be made from it.
So Capital's reaction is to praise her actions because her actions really don't fit the mold of what an athlete is expected to do. And that's the problem with all of this. This is something that hasn't happened before that Capital was unprepared to grapple with. And you see U.S. Gymnastics saying that this is a mental health issue. It's very throwing woke language at the wall and hoping it sticks to appease a large percentage of the consumerist U.S. market that loves the Olympics and wants to support Simone because we like Simone because I have a parasocial relationship with an athlete that I've never met before.
Simone and anybody else on the Olympic team or any other sport should basically form a Olympic athletes union and literally have an international presence so that we can end the exploitation of all these athletes and move to a place in which they can actually compete without the pressures of making money or the pressures of competing at such a high level. And that means that we are actually lacking then a union presence internationally like the IWW, who has the foresight to push through fundamental changes in the workforce. Like, they are nowhere anywhere. They're nowhere. They are nowhere near the Olympics or nowhere near professional athletes. They're not knocking on the door of the players' union asking why they're not part of IWW. They're not trying to consolidate power on some of the biggest names in the world. Because they have no power and they choose to be powerless forever. I don't know why, they just choose to be. Because if they gave a shit, if the unions really cared, if the unions really had a fundamental plan and were not just co-opted for capital, like modern unions are, they would be doing stuff like paying the wages of individuals who join Amazon to unionize. Quite literally that, right? Amazon pays you $15 an hour, will pay you $5 extra an hour if you just go to Amazon and form a union. That's how you do it. You basically unionize that plant from the inside out. Or things like forcing the union builders to all be under the same umbrella union so that it gets rid of territorial unionization that leads to competition between home builders of different cities, in which builders and the unions favor certain areas for building because it benefits both the union and the builders. What I mean by that is the builders that exist that put up subdivisions everywhere make deals with the local unions for support at the local, county, and city levels because it employs union workers. But that's actually bad for the rest of the workers around them because it's a very selfish take on what, you know, what the worker needs. So instead of them focusing on the environment or focusing on, you know, actual equal housing or focusing on things that the union is supposed to do to make sure all workers get what the workers need, they focus on themselves selfishly to make sure that they have work. And only them. Same thing we saw with the pipelines. The same thing we're seeing in IWW. The same reason why they don't unionize restaurants like fast food chains. There's no reason why the low-income workers are not unionized except for the fact that the IWW doesn't actually give a shit and it's co-opted and doesn't care.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.